headquarters of Ramsey Solutions, broadcasting from the Pods Moving and Storage Studios. It's the Ramsey Show, where debt is dumb, cash is king, and the paid-off home mortgage has taken the place of the BMW as the status symbol of choice. We help people build wealth, do work that they love, and create actual amazing relationships. Christina Ellis Ramsey, personality number one bestselling author, is my co-host today. She and I will be answering your questions about your life and your money. It's a free call at 888-825-5225. That's 888-825-5225. Rebecca's with us in Flint, Michigan. Hi, Rebecca. Welcome to the Ramsey Show.
Hi, Dave. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure. What's up?
Sorry, I'm a little nervous.
It's okay. You'll be all right. We've never lost a patient.
I've been grooming for 12 years now and been doing mobile grooming, started my own business 6 years ago. During the pandemic in 2020, I shut down and was going through a rough divorce and moved to be closer to my support system and my family. When I reopened, I kept my old some of my old clients, but it's time to let them go. My business is booming, and I have people waiting to get in with me. I just don't know how to let them go without disappointing them and without leaving myself open to caving in. So I can see myself telling them, hey, you guys have me till June. After June, you're going to have to find another groomer. And them going, we'll pay you more money. We'll do whatever we can to keep you, when it just needs to be a severed tie. So I'm calling Dave to see if you can, if you have any tools or advice on how I tackle that.
What's going on with the old clients? Why do they need to be severed?
Too far away.
It's nothing to do with them. They're good clients. They're an hour away.
Yeah.
So now I'm within 20 minutes of home. I have a kid in school. So once a week I'm driving an hour. I'm grooming all of them. They're fantastic on keeping their appointments and that. It's the drive back and forth when I could be making the same amount of money, if not more, close to home.
Well, and you're also losing all that time, which is important.
Yep.
Even if you got paid for it, it's still not the way to live your life.
Exactly. That's why I don't want to leave myself open for money.
Yeah, here's the thing. It's a very simple thing. You just say, it's too far a drive. After my divorce, I moved, and I'm way away, and I'm not able to do clients anymore that aren't within this range. Oh, well, okay. I want you to come anyway. I'm sorry. I just wish I could, but I can't. Well, I'll pay you double. I'm sorry. I just wish I could, but I can't. And it's just no is a complete sentence, Rebecca. I mean,
yeah, it's getting that no. I've been grooming for them since I was in my early 20s. So it's hard.
I don't care. I mean, there's things you outgrow things. Things change in life. And if their life revolves around their dog groomer, they need to grow a real life.
Well, Dave, should there be the option for them to drive to her?
If you want to do that, that's fine. Yeah. I thought about that.
That kind of puts a wrench in things, because if they're late or don't show up, now I'm trying to find some place to groom from. The whole point of being mobile is convenience for the client. I show up and groom your dog.
Yeah. So you don't want to do it.
Then you're trying to schedule around me.
It doesn't make sense, you know. And so, you know, we had a lady that cleaned our house, and her husband moved to Oklahoma, and she wanted to go with her husband. So she can't clean her house anymore, because she's not going to come from Oklahoma to clean her house. And, you know, she's a sweet lady. She's been with us for years. We love her. She's like a family member in a sense, but she's not a family member. And anybody with common sense knows that you're not going to come from Oklahoma to Nashville to clean a house. It doesn't make sense. So, and that's the same discussion. It's just, you know, you're going to have one or two that are unreasonable emotional people, but that's just because they're unreasonable emotional people, and you're just going to have to say, I can't do it. Now, I'm assuming you have enough. You said your business is booming. You got enough business lined up. You don't need them.
Oh, no. Going out there is literally, I don't want to disappoint them.
It's literally you don't know how to say no.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, exactly. Yeah.
I'm so sorry. I just can't. You know, the other thing you could do is, do you have a former competitor in that area that you could recommend with good conscience?
I don't. That would make it easier to say, here's somebody to go to. Mm-hmm. There's not a whole lot of groomers. It's a very rural area out there.
Yeah. Okay.
Well, I can relate to your concerns as somebody who, you know, Enneagram 3 doesn't like to make people unhappy. You know, those conversations can be kind of nerve-wracking. But if it helps, you may want to even, like, write out a script before you go into the call where it's like, you know, here are my boundaries, here's what I'm going to say, so that once you get in it, you know, no matter what they say, even if they're like, oh, man, and start making you feel bad, you've really thought through kind of the boundaries and what you want to say.
And the big thing you got to think about is this. When I get off the phone, there's only one result. It's over.
Okay.
Breaking up is hard to do, but it's over. It's over. There's no negotiation. There's no, you're not attempting to get anything else out of this. You're simply notifying them that after June, little Fluffy's going to have to get his hair cut by somebody else. Pretty simple. And they'll be okay. They're going to be all right. They'll be all right. I mean, Rufus the Shih Tzu at Ramsey Place gets a mobile groomer that comes in and cuts his Shih Tzu hair off, which definitely needs to happen. And you know, I we don't have like this in-depth familial relationship with the dog groomer. It's okay. They cut the dog's hair. It's what they do. It's okay.
Dave, dog.
Don't make this bigger than it is. It's just, you know, just no, I can't cut their hair anymore. Just like that.
Yeah. Even if you run into intense dog dads, which apparently is a thing now.
Well, I mean, just I don't, there aren't, the only dog dads are other dogs. So
I don't know. There's some people in this building who would argue
with
you.
People make little dogs. Other dogs make little dogs. So we need to keep this in mind. But yeah, it's a little bit out of control. I'm kind of with Deloney on this one. All right. Joseph is with us in Austin, Texas. Hi, Joseph. Welcome to the Ramsey Show.
How you doing, Mr. Ramsey? I really appreciate your call. Me and my cousin Calvin been listening to you for a long time, so it's greatly appreciated. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. How can we help?
Okay, so I'm 19 years old. I'm in the Army. I'm in college. I'm about to get out in 2 years and some change. My plan is to, my ultimate goal is to buy a house. When I get out of the Army, I'm going to go back home to New Jersey, New York City area, and I get basic housing allowance, which is $3,500 for 4 years. I have about $25,000 saved up, and my plan is to, go.
During that 4 years, you're getting the $3,500 stipend because you're going to be getting your education, correct?
Yes, sir. Every month.
Yeah, good for you. Hey, thanks for your service. It sounds like a good plan. No, I would not buy a house. While you're going through school, just be a college student, a 21-year-old college student. Government's giving you housing allowance. You got some money to cover rent, and just go to school. Just go to school. Don't get in the house business. Get in the college graduation business. Focus on one thing, because after you get out of college, it's highly unlikely you're going to be in that area. So let's make a decision to just rent right now. Are you sick of planned obsolescence? You know, when companies make products crappy, so you have to buy more of their crappy products. Well, me too. And it's why I love companies like Grip 6. Grip 6 is all about quality products meant to last forever. That's why they're comfortable, bulk-free belts, slimline wallets, and lightweight wool socks all come with a lifetime warranty and simple returns and exchanges. So check them out at grip6.com today and get up to 20% off with the promo code Ramsey. Christina Ellis, Ramsey personality, number one best-selling author, is my co-host today. The countdown to Christmas is on, and you have less than 2 days left to get free shipping and to get your gifts in time for Christmas. Go to RamseySolutions.com. Check out our new Ramsey apparel. We've got tees, hoodies, sweatshirts, all with your favorite Ramsey one-liners like Live Like No One Else, or Cash Is King, or Better Than I Deserve. And also check out Questions for Humans conversation cards. We have sold out of the Christmas version. We've sold out of the New Year's version. But we have the brand new regular second edition there is available, which will work just fine for your holiday get together. And the Ramsey Gold Planner is out there, and the Rachel Cruze Red Wallet is out there. You have until December 8th, just a couple of days, to get free shipping and have your gifts in time for Christmas. RamseySolutions.com. Head on over there today. So NPR, somebody sent me the link today. I guess it was our producer, James, sent it. NPR, Stacey Smith, a writer for NPR, has a full article about a young lady paying off $18,000 worth of credit card debt, not making a lot of money, as a journalism living in Brooklyn. And she did this new craze that is sweeping the nation. Apparently Gen Z has a brand new fad out called cash stuffing.
It's a TikTok craze.
Living on cash on the envelope system. It's called cash stuffing.
Such a new concept.
Oh, it's brand new. Just came out. The Tic Tac guys just figured it out. And so it's fun, though. I'm glad she did it. So she learned how to do the envelope system. I heard about the envelope system 36 years ago the first time from a guy named Larry Burkett, and I have a collection of antique envelope systems from the 30s, the 20s, the 40s, and the 50s. It was quite the thing. There was little envelope systems like Rachel Cruze's wallet, had the red wallet that we have in the store right now, all the colors, but the brand new red one also. It has pockets in it that you label with categories in your budget, and some things in your budget, from the very first day I started teaching this, Larry Burkett stole it from your grandmother. I stole it from Larry Burkett and your grandmother. We've been teaching people to do the envelope system, which now is called cash stuffing, if you're a cool Gen Z TikToker. So that's how that works. And so here's how cash stuffing, now that I know what you call it, here's how the envelope system that we've taught for 40 years works. It's pretty simple. You have some categories in your budget, and they should be mostly, if not all, categories of things you spend when you are not paying bills. You're away from your desk. You're away from your home. So a grocery store, could be car gas, could be entertainment budget. It could be a restaurant budget. And I do recommend, when you first start your budget, separate restaurants and groceries, because it'll make you realize what you're spending on restaurants. And so what we taught people to do, and we still teach people to do this, I just didn't know it was cool again. I mean, if you keep your clothes long enough, they come back. Just ask James. I mean, it's come back from the 90s, right? So so the idea is, I'm going to spend X number of dollars for this pay period on groceries. I'll make up a number, $500, $400, whatever the number is. You actually get that much cash out of your paycheck and put the actual real dollars into the envelope marked groceries, or in the Rachel Cruze envelope system, and you label it groceries. And then you don't buy any groceries except out of that envelope. And you don't buy anything out of that envelope except groceries. It makes you keep your categories clean and true. And oh, by the way, when you are out of money in that category, stop buying. And so this young lady goes to the grocery store in this article with $46. In the grocery store, $46 cash.
For the week?
Apparently.
For the month?
No, it's for the week.
Okay.
And I believe. I have to go back and reread the article.
Budget. But that's,
I mean, but she's like, I have to stay away from the fancy olive oil aisle because I really yearn for that stuff, and I'm not going to get it. And she's buying day-old bread and gets a whole thing, a loaf of bread, and she's like, okay, that's 20 slices. That means I get 10 peanut butter and jellies out of that. And so, you know, and she's going down $2.36, 80 cents, $6.38. And as she's walking through, she knows she can't go over $46 because that's what's in her food envelope.
Well, and it feels different when you're spending cold, hard cash. Like when you actually are handing over something in that transaction that you don't get back, there's an emotional attachment to it.
The studies have shown, and one of the best studies was done at MIT, and they were studying the brainwave and brainwave activity. And when you spend with real cash, it activates the pain centers of the brain. When you spend with plastic, nothing, no brain. But it's just dead. There's no, but in other words, you have an ouchie moment when you spend cash because you have a realization. And you're right, Rachel Cruz pointed out years ago, and I had never thought of it, but she and I were doing an event together, and she pointed out when you hand, you know, you think about when you were a kid, if you wanted to trade one of your toys to another kid for their toy. So there's a trade, there's a transaction. You give them yours, that you don't get it back. Mm-hmm. They give you theirs. And so that's what happens with cash. We hand over president faces and we leave with a loaf of bread. So there's a transaction. There's a handing, you give up something and you leave with something. Visually, that doesn't happen when you spend with plastic. You give them the plastic, they hand you the plastic back and the loaf of bread. There's no transaction visually, to your point earlier. And that sounds so primitive, but it activates those parts of the brain, and you have to understand personal finance is 80% behavior. It's only 20% head knowledge. So when you put systems in place that help you manage your behavior, it's a life hack. You're cutting a corner and making it work.
Well, and that's part of, you know, when people say, I can keep credit cards and I pay them off every month. I'm not going to argue with the people who say that they can do that. But do you spend more when you do that? Do you not have that pain center go off? Like, if you were actually spending cash, would you be a little bit more hesitant to buy that extra shirt, to buy that extra purchase that you maybe don't need?
Studies prove that you spend 12 to 18% more using plastic than using cash. I mean, we've got tons of research on this. This is not a new phenomenon. And in the digital world, we call it friction. The easier it is without realizing you spent money, without too many steps, then boom, you know, you hit the PayPal, clink, boom.
Oh, Amazon.
You click on, your card is already on file, and you just click buy. And there's no recognition that money's actually spent. The weird thing is the studies also show that when you use a debit card versus a credit card, that there's more physiological reaction, recognition. I better have the money in that account. Otherwise, I just bounced a check when I use my debit card, right?
Yeah.
Otherwise, I've just gone into overdraft. And there's a physiological recognition of that in your body and in your brain versus when you lay the plastic down, you're just like, eh, we'll figure it out later.
Mm-hmm. I think now, too, it's like the temptation keeps getting even higher because we've got Venmo where you can just transfer money so easy. You know, a friend's going to be like, I'll pick up dinner and you can just send the money. We've got Amazon where it's one-click ordering. It's like everything. It's getting so easy to spend. So it's like even if you're using a debit card, I think it's getting more and more important to create boundaries around your spending so that you feel it. So that, you know, even if it's an easy transaction, there's a little bit of pain or a little bit of boundaries to keep you in line.
Here's the other side of the equation. Retired school teacher, retired Methodist pastor, $3.7 million net worth, December of 2021. We're debt-free multimillionaires drowning in a cosmic ocean of grace. Giving is the most fun we can have, not involving fat, sugar, or chocolate.
I feel like we're speaking to ourselves.
We're childless, but we have 16 kids that we support, so we have 16 children. Mm. Very cool. See, that's what happens when you stuff cash. Hey folks, Dave Ramsey here. There are moments in life we don't want to forget, like your kid's graduation or the once-in-a-lifetime trip. For the big moments, the everyday moments, and everything in between, every dollar is there to help you budget for all of it. It's the simple budgeting app that helps you plan, save, and spend for the important things. Budget for the life you really want, every moment of it. Download the app or check the link in the show notes to create your free account today. Every dollar. Christine Ellis, Ramsey personality, number one best-selling author, is my co-host today in the lobby of Ramsey Solutions on the debt-free stage. Jim and Ashley are with us. Hey, guys, how are you?
Good. How are you guys?
Better than we deserve. Where do you guys live?
We live in Clarksville, Tennessee.
Oh, just up the road.
Yeah. Cool.
Well, welcome to Nashville. Good
thank
to have you.
Thank you.
And how much debt have you guys paid off?
$625,000.
Oh!
Wow.
How long did that take?
30 months.
Okay. There's a story here. What's your range of income during that 2.5 years?
We started around $45,000 and ended at $60,000 plus a $7,000 side hustle.
Gotcha. What do y'all do for a living?
I am an office manager at Crow Estate Planning and Probate.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm a stay-at-home dad.
Cool. Good for you. Okay. How do you get rid of $600,000 on $45,000 income? That doesn't work. You must have sold the house.
We sold our rental in California.
Ah, okay. All right. And what did it sell for?
It sold for $810,000, and okay. We used some of that money to pay off our house in Clarksville, Tennessee.
That's fun.
Yep.
What's the house in Clarksville worth?
I think it's about $325,000.
Okay. Very good. Very cool. Good for you guys. Okay. So you paid that off, and do you have any other debt?
Nope.
That was it. You're just now officially weird people. No mortgages, paid for house and everything.
We also paid off $55,000 in the combined total of student loans, credit cards, a car, and we had a TURF payment.
Oh, you did have other debt. Okay.
We did,
all
yes.
Right, cool.
Yeah.
All right, cool. So we knocked all of that out and the mortgage with the sale of the rental.
Correct.
That's simple. And it took 30 months to sell it?
We started for the first $55,000. That was about the first year and a half. And the last little bit was just kind of getting the house sold and just kind of letting the money go to pay off that house.
So you kind of didn't want to sell the rental at first?
No, we thought renting was going to be fun. And it's, you know, passive income. And it honestly, it kind of turned out to be a nightmare.
Yeah, I bet.
So
you managed to do it right in the middle of COVID too.
Yeah, that kind of we always thought maybe we'd go back to California. That's where we're originally from. We moved out here shortly after we got married, and we're like, maybe we'll go back, maybe we won't. And then we kind of looked at each other and said, are we really going to go back?
So what got you started on the Ramsey way?
Well, in about 2020, I started with the podcast. And about a month or so in, I had sent a text message to a mentor that I had. And I said, hey, I'm listening to the Dave Ramsey Show. What do you think about this guy? I'm interested to hear your piece. And he said, Dave's a great guy. Keep listening. And so that kind of got me hooked. I bought the Total Money Makeover shortly after. And like I said, the rest is history.
Wow. Very cool. Just like that. So Ashley, he's got the podcast going. Is he giving you a hard time?
We've talked about reading the book, and he pretty much just every day I'd come home and he'd talk about the plan and the baby steps, and then we would talk about knocking each one of them out, and then he listens to the podcast every day, and so when we're in the car we listen to it or we watch it on YouTube. So
just no fun anymore.
It's really cool though to see everybody come from different walks of life and really stick with the plan and be able to pay everything off.
Yeah.
It's awesome.
So you sold the house. What else did y'all do in this journey? Because you mentioned the side hustle, a $7,000 side hustle. What was that?
So we cleaned my offices that I work for in Clarksville and in Hopkinsville.
Okay.
That's great. Awesome. So what would you say is the key? Because there's a lot of people who are looking at that number thinking, whoo, that's impressive. What's the key to getting out of debt?
Stephen Covey has a really good quote that says, begin with the end in mind. And our definitely end goal was to be stress-free, to really, like you said, live like no one else so that, we could live like no one else. And I think that was our biggest goal. We wanted to change our family tree. We didn't want to be like everybody else, because normal sucks.
Amen. Good for you guys. Well done. Hey, we're proud of you. Who are your biggest cheerleaders?
Each other and our families. We have Jim's mom here from California to celebrate with us today as well.
Very fun. Awesome. Good stuff. We got the Live and Give bundle for you. That's the Total Money Makeover book, the Baby Steps Millionaires book. That's the next chapter in your story. and a one-year membership to Financial Peace University, the brand new version that has George and Rachel and Deloney and me and everybody's in it. So be sure and watch that through if you haven't, or give it all away or whatever you want to do. It's for you. It's the Live and Give bundle. So very, very proud of you. All right. What's your child's name and age? Let's get him in the shot here.
His name is James, and he will be 2 in January.
All right. So James came right in the middle of all this.
Yes. Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, that's part of the deal, huh? Good job. All right. Fun stuff. I love it. All right. Jim and Ashley in James, Clarksville, Tennessee. $625,000 paid off in 30 months, making $45,267. Count it down. Let's hear a debt-free scream.
Three, two, one.
We're debt-free!
That is how it's done. I love it. Wendy is with us in Omaha, Nebraska. Hi, Wendy. Welcome to the Ramsey Show.
Thank you for taking my call. I appreciate that.
Sure.
The reason why I'm calling is I wanted to know if my ideas of moving to Japan to be close to my grandma is a good financially good idea. I'm a school teacher for the past 20 years, and I raised all my 3 kids as a single mom. So I don't really have much of a retirement other than the 403B that I received from the school.
Mm-hmm.
And I do own a house. I mean, I think I still owe about $98,000, but it's worth about $275,000.
Good. How old are you?
49.
Cool. So you want to go to Japan and do what?
Administrator. I do have a 2 master's degrees, so I'm hoping to get into an international school or something and get into administration.
You'd be near your grandmother. You'd be making a lot of money, a lot more than you make now, right?
Right. I'm hoping to.
No, I wouldn't go if you don't, because it's very high cost of living.
Right.
And so, I talked to a guy yesterday, as a matter of fact, that was in the IT world, and he moved his family, and they lived in Japan for 3 years, and the company he worked for furnished all housing, and they doubled his income. And so, they looked at it as a short-term adventure, and he piled up a huge pile of cash in a short period of time. But if you're going to go over there and make the same amount of money and the cost of living be twice as much as it is where you are, no thank you. I don't want to do that.
Okay.
What do you make now?
I make a 70.
You should make 100.5 with a master's in administrative.
Yeah, I haven't tried for the administrative positions yet. So. Yeah.
Well, I mean, I wouldn't go over there and make the same. You're going to go backward if you do. Mm-hmm. What about your kids? You're going to leave them behind, right?
Right. Well, they're older. You know, the oldest.
They don't count anymore.
Married. Yeah. Well, youngest one's still with me, but. But then, I'm also concerned about my house. I do have 4-bedroom home.
Just sell it. How long are you going to be in Japan?
My grandma's 92, so I just didn't want her to be alone there.
How long are you going to be in Japan?
Maybe 5 years.
Sell your house.
Okay.
Buy another one when you come home. You don't want to manage a rental property or an empty house internationally. You'll take all the fun out of this experience.
Mm-hmm. So what do I do with the money that I get from the house?
Put it in an investment to buy a house with when you get back.
All of them?
All of them? All the money?
Mm-hmm. I'm thinking $150,000 I'd probably
get. Yeah, just put it in some good mutual funds, and so it'll be there when you get home, and it will have grown, and you'll be able to buy another house. And you're going to make a whole bunch of money, so you're going to add to that investment while you're going to Japan, or you don't go. That's what I would do.
Well, and with this couple that just paid off, you know, their debt, they didn't want to stay in the rental business. And managing that while in Japan would be...
So much wrong with this. This is The Ramsey Show. Listen, everyone needs ID theft protection. It doesn't matter your age, how much money you have, or where you live. Once you're a victim, and it's likely to happen to all of us at some point, your personal and financial reputation gets ripped to shreds, and it's a nightmare to clean up. Having the right protection and not wasting money are key, and that's what Xander's ID Theft Protection Plan is all about. They've bundled together the services you need at pricing that can't be beat, with monitoring that includes your home title, VPN encryption, unlimited recovery services, and even stolen funds protection. You're getting a great value and dealing with people you can trust. I could go on, but you can see for yourself. Go to Xander.com or call 800-356-4282 and get the protection you need. Whether you're ditching an overpriced plan or getting protected for the first time, Xander's team are the only people I trust and recommend. Hey guys, thank you for joining us. Christina Ellis, Ramsey Personality number one bestselling author, is my co-host today. If you like this show and you want to help us out, we would appreciate the help. We do need the help. We need you to do three things regarding the show. Number one, if you watch the show on YouTube, subscribe. If you listen on a podcast, subscribe versus just dialing in and checking it out. The subscriptions change the algorithms on the internet and on the different platforms, and it serves it up to more and more people to be recommended if you're subscribing. So thank you for that. Leaving a review does the same thing. 5-star reviews only, please. Thank you very much. And share the show. If you're listening on talk radio, tell your friends about your local radio station to tune in. And of course, you've got share functions on Spotify or Apple or YouTube that you can actually send the link and click a share button, whatever, however that particular platform works. But help us spread the word. It turns out all of our internal data indicates by far our best promotional thing to help us get the word out of this information is you telling someone about it. You are a big deal. Thank you. We appreciate you. Jared is in Altoona, Pennsylvania. Hi, Jared. Welcome to the Ramsey Show.
Hey, Dave and Christina. I hope you guys are having a good day today.
We are. How can we help?
So my question kind of in a whole package deal today is, my grandparents had their retirement funds in a annuity that matured after 10 years, right? Mm-hmm. And about around last year, I looked into what their retirement plan was, and it looked like that their retirement was basically getting zero interest per year on that annuity, but they were still taking out their fees and their expenses that the service that they had it in. And so I decided that I was going to manage their funds for them, and I decided to pull that retirement out and roll it over into a traditional IRA. But doing that, it was a 5% penalty because it was only 5 years into the annuity, and it was supposed to be.
Oh, you made that up in 1 year. That was brilliant.
Yes.
Yeah, if they were making zero and you moved them into mutual funds making 10 or 12, they made 10 or 12 the first year. They lost five, so they only netted seven. After that, they make 10 or 12. So absolutely, I would have done that.
The only thing is, it was around last year, and now the market crashed.
Oh, the market didn't crash. The market went down, and it hadn't come back up. But, I mean, overall, over the scope of their lives, unless they die this year, this is a brilliant move. But no, I mean, you know the market can come up and down, but the average of the market has been 11.8% since it started.
Mm-hmm.
And so, let's say you cost them 5 and you made them 11, then you made them a net of 6. Now, this year, you may or may not do that. Probably not in 2022, but 2023, you'll be fine. 24, you're going to be just fine. I mean, some years you could make 17%, right? I mean, it's an average.
Yeah, I guess I was just nervous because, you know, I transferred it all over. They dropped, I mean, there's probably $100,000 in it, and then, you know, five grand off the top just came off of that.
Well, and then they lost another 12.
20%.
Yeah, then they lost another 12 or 13, yeah. Yeah. But it's not, you know, you didn't lose it until you cash it in.
Right.
No one gets hurt on a roller coaster except those that jump off during the ride.
Yeah.
You did the right thing, Jared.
Okay.
It's exactly what I would have done.
All right, perfect. That's all I want to hear.
Okay.
Thank you.
Yeah, that's
thank
hard.
So much.
Yeah, thank you. So the important thing to remember, folks, is this. You cannot take a single snapshot when the market's down and use that to make your judgments about your long-term investments. That's a moment in time. You can't take a single snapshot when the market's way up and go, well, I made 23% on my money last year, which I've had years. I made more than that, you know?
Well,
but that's not the norm. I mean, you can't count on 23%. No, but you can count on the averages.
Well, and Jared, I didn't ask his age, but he sounds young. And if he's Gen Z millennial, this may be his first time seeing the market go down significantly. So it is kind of scary if you've, you know, gone through this season with COVID where it's been lots of highs and a lot of people have been winning in the market. And then all of a sudden it goes down. It's easy to go, oh, my gosh, I've never seen this before. But somebody like Dave, you've talked about how you've seen the roller coaster throughout the years.
Somebody, are you saying I'm old? Somebody
no.
Old like Dave. Yeah. But I mean, seriously, that's it. Pan back from the moment and get not only a little bit of the future in your peripheral vision, but a whole bunch of the past in your peripheral vision, and you see the trend across something more than 1 month or 1 year. Because if you take a 1 month or 1 year trend in any investment and use that to make your decisions, you're going to make a bad decision.
Now, I wonder, too, if some of that anxiety he was feeling was the fact that it's his grandparents, you know, money, and they're probably needing that money right now. What would you say to that concern of, you know, if it was Jared's money specifically, it'd be a lot easier to go, okay, I'm not worried about it. I'm not going to retire for 40 years.
Here's the thing. If you left it where it was sucking.
For sure.
It was going to go. It was going to, you know, it's costing money every year sitting where it is. He did the right thing. His anxiety is that he just wanted to make sure he did the right thing.
For sure. But for retirees right now who are feeling really nervous about the market, what would you say to them?
You don't need the money.
Mm.
When you retire with $1 million, you don't cash $1 million out and set it at the kitchen table. You leave $1 million in the investment, you live off the income. And so if this year the investment didn't go up, and so by taking some money, okay, let's take the $100,000, okay? Market's down 15%, all right? And you wanted to live on 10% of your investments. So if you had $100,000, you wanted to live on $10,000. Okay, so you pull out $10,000, you got 90, and it loses 15%, so you're down 25%, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Now, the next year, it comes up 10%, 15%. Comes right back up, and you still pull off $10,000. If you keep doing that math every year, up and down, up and down, up and down, and it averages 10 or 11%, and you're pulling off 10%, you will get to even. You'll get back to the 100, and the 100 will just sit there over time. Some years it'll be 110, some years it'll be 90, and it'll be back and forth, right? But you're pulling off 10 the whole time, and it's just going to vacillate back and forth. So you're going to be just fine. And so that's the thing. It goes down, but it's not down permanently. So it'll keep coming up, and they can live off the income. So the point is, you never, in any of this case, took out the 100. All you took out was the amount you need to live on. And then it went down a little, and then when it comes back, it needs to come back the amount you took out plus how much it lost before you're back to your 100. And it will over time. It will over time. I mean, and if it didn't, it'll be the first time in history. Brandon is with us. Brandon is in Raleigh, North Carolina. Hi, Brandon. Welcome to the Ramsey Show. Go fast. I'm short on time.
I got you, Dave. Well, thank you so much for taking my call. Basically, my question is when I was in college, racked up a bunch of student debt. We're halfway through it. And during college, my mom promised to help me take care of the Parent PLUS loans that she took out. And, you know, as the holidays come up, it's, you know, really started to weigh down on me, and wanted to know what your thoughts are on that, and or if it's a conversation to re-bring up, what would that look like? Because we're halfway, and it's just been a really long journey.
All right, I'm confused. Your mom has a Parent PLUS loan.
Yes, for my school. So
yeah, Parent PLUS loans are in her name, and she mm-hmm. took that loan out, and she said she was going to pay it.
She was going to help me pay it, pretty much match what I pay, or 50-50 split. And
now, you know, she doesn't want to?
Or she just, it's just something that's gotten swept under the rug, and she hasn't taken responsibility to help me or pay it.
Well, I think we talked about it. You took this loan out. It's in your name. I can just leave it at your doorstep.
Mm-hmm.
Your mom. It's not in your name, Brandon. Mm-hmm. I mean, anything you do to help her pay her loan is because you made an agreement, and you should honor that agreement, but you're not legally liable in any way for this loan. It's a Parent Plus loan. It's in her name. And so I think we give her a little wake-up call, my point. Mom, you have a loan.
Yeah, she needs to be feeling some of that heaviness too.
Yeah, you have a loan. We promised each other that we would work that loan off together. I'm not going to knock that loan off by myself because you have a loan. And I think some version of that, with more kindness than I have in my voice right now, is how your holiday discussion sounds. This is The Ramsey Show.
Have you been inspired to make a change with your money? Want to know where to start? Take our 3-minute money quiz to get a plan you can follow. Go to RamseySolutions.com and search for Get Started to get a plan for your money.
Hey, it's James, producer of The Ramsey Show. This episode is over, but check the episode notes for links to products and services you heard about during this episode. Thanks for listening.